have 3 spike forks, 2 with 3 brow tines, 2 greater than 50 inches, and 2 sublegal moose.
The moose count hit 10 Monday afternoon as the hunting season continues. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more just ahead. The Haines Assembly will take up discussion on a possible bear ordinance at this week's Assembly meeting. The Chilkoot Bear Foundation of Haines submitted a letter to the borough following a bear summit in August. That meeting brought together the foundation, law enforcement, state parks, wildlife troopers, fishing game, and members of the public to talk about minimizing bear-human conflict. The foundation voted at their last meeting to request the Haines Borough Assembly to enact an ordinance designed to do just that. The law would make it an offense for a person in charge of a property to cause or allow the creation or maintenance of a bear attraction nuisance, namely unintentionally or intentionally leaving bear attractants outside where bears can sense them. The foundation says those attractants, like food waste, animal food, fish waste, or trash, are a major cause of bear-human conflict. According to the proposed idea, a half gallon of attractant that repeatedly brings in bears must be removed or put in a bear-proof container. If it isn't, the property owner is liable for a fine. Exceptions to the proposed rule would include landfills, manure, garbage cans outside after 4 a.m., regulated hunting activities, material in bear-proof containers, and livestock protected by bear-proof fencing. It's based on an ordinance already in effect in Juneau, which the foundation says has been successful in minimizing incidents. The borough says assembly members will discuss where in code the ordinance might fit, but that an ordinance alone would not solve bear problems completely. The municipality is investigating other tools, such as more bear-resistant receptacles. Borough officials will also continue a closed discussion of heli-ski regulations and enforcement. An executive session with the borough attorney follows the Tuesday assembly meeting and is a follow-up to a similar meeting in late August. The Haines Borough Assembly meets in a regular assembly meeting Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. in assembly chambers at the Public Safety Building. Chilkat Valley moose hunters brought the harvest count up to 10 bulls by Monday afternoon as the 2010 moose season moves into day 7.
Moose just came in, so change the number to 10.
Anthony Krupe at the Haines Moose Check Station says that number breaks down into 7 legal moose, 2 sublegal moose, plus the unknown he left to check in Monday afternoon.
So we're off to a good moose season so far. We have 3 spike forks, 2 with 3 brow tines, 2 greater than 50 inches, and 2 sublegal moose.
Moose season opened last Wednesday with an illegal moose coming in first. The first legal moose with a 54-inch rack was harvested by Donnie Turner of Haines.
The Turners have been hunting in the same area for many years, and this was a real big one.
Fish and Game staff has been busy checking in moose every day since the 15th, including weekends. The check station is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. during the week until October 7th, or until the guideline harvest of 20 to 25 bulls is met. There's an on-call staff member available on weekends to check moose in. Their phone number is posted at the station, located at the Haines Highway Main Street Junction. Krupe says hopes of reaching the harvest limit are high, as temperatures are expected to drop.
Yeah, you know, it seemed to be starting out to sort of a slow hunt with the warm temperatures we had last week, but over the weekend and today we are getting up to fairly average numbers. Over the last 5 years I've looked at some of the data, and by this point in the hunt, we're usually right around 10 bulls, so we're right on par with previous history.
Last week, amidst the last-minute preparations for open season, experts and amateurs were clearing their throats, focusing their minds, and channeling the angst of a moose in rut. Here's what some of the various human-generated moose calls heard around the valley sounded like.
I've never met a
moose.
Moo! For now, though, freshly grown.
Kate.
Ma.
Moose.
Oh, moose. Moose.
Come here.
Get the moose. Get the moose.
Come here, moose.
Get the moose.
Most moves go thunder, 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 stomping, stomp, stomp, stomp.
Good luck to all the hunters who are still searching for moose, and stay safe.
The biggest dam removal in U.S. history is getting underway, an effort to restore long-lost salmon habitat. In Olympic National Park last week, heavy excavators were digging a channel to reroute the Elwha River. The idea of tearing down a pair of tall, hydropowered dams has been talked about for about 25 years. Northwest News Network correspondent Tom Bonsey reports talk has given way to action in the Elwha Valley of Northwest Washington.
I'm standing at the lip of Elwha Dam. That's the sound of the Elwha River in the background gushing out of a spillway and then crashing down 105 feet into an emerald green pool at the base of the dam. Because the sun is hitting just right now, I can see salmon, actually quite a few salmon, circling aimlessly here at the foot of the dam, still looking after all these years for some way over. It's been nearly 100 years since Elwha Dam was constructed. It was built without fish ladders, and because of that, and those frustrated salmon below, this dam's days are numbered. The preparations for dam removal are underway upstream and downstream of here. This month, contractors will dig a channel through a delta of lake sediment to help the Elwha River find its original course. Olympic National Park spokesman Dave Reynolds watches a barge ferry heavy equipment for that across man-made Lake Mills. He says the lake is gradually being drawn down.
It is symbolic, and it seems like a lot of people are really excited about it. This seems like the first major project that's right here on the Elwha, and that's changing the landscape. And it's got a lot of people really looking forward to next year and the beginning of dam removal here.
There are people who will miss these two dams and the lakes they created. I found Port Angeles sport fisherman David Mead casting for trout below Glines Canyon Dam.
You know, I like the way it's set up right now. It's been this way for so long, and it's just personally don't see the need to tear those out when we've got so many other rivers for the salmon and the steelhead and everything.
However, Mead recognizes the debate about tearing down the dams is over.
Hopefully it's all going to be for the best when it's all done.
The lower Elwha Clallam Indian tribe set all this in motion back in 1986. That's when the tribe challenged the relicensing of 210-foot-tall Glines Canyon Dam and the 108-foot-tall Elwha Dam. Tribal member Robert Ellison wears the motive on his chest. The words are literally stitched into a logo on his jacket.
It says, we want our damned salmon back, and it's D-A-M-M-E-D.
Ellison directs the Elwha River Restoration Program for his tribe. He says dam removal will open 70 miles of river and tributary habitat. Here on the lower Elwha Reservation, rumbling convoys of dump trucks signal the decades-long wait to free the river will soon be over. The trucks also drive home what makes dam removal so expensive and complicated. Among other things, contractors are raising levees to protect reservation housing from a less controlled waterway.
So the river level will be higher, groundwater level, and the flood levels will be higher. So the levee has to be modified and expanded.
American taxpayers are also paying for a new fish hatchery. It will shelter the remaining Elwha salmon during the dam removal process.
We've worked very hard to get where we are and to get this project done, and you know, we take a great deal of pride in the fact that it has been accomplished.
Actual deconstruction of the concrete dams will happen piecemeal starting next year. Several other dams around the country are slated to be torn down next year as well. That includes Pacific Power's 125-foot-tall Condit Dam on the White Salmon River near Portland. The surge of activity prompts the environmental group American Rivers to dub 2011 the Year of River Restoration. I'm Tom Bonsi near Port Angeles.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS Local News. Want to stay in touch with family and friends out of town? Why not send them a link to your local news at khns.org and under the Listen tab.